Let's open our Bibles tonight, going back to 1 Timothy. And we ended up last Wednesday, seems like last night, praise God. Sometimes so long ago, who knows? But there's no time with God, hallelujah. But in the second chapter is where we stopped. And, you know, I pray that the Lord would encourage us. How simple the theme. Men surrender and women submit. And praise be to God, there really isn't any difference. By God's grace, I want to be a vessel of honor. By God's grace, I simply want to let God do that. By God's grace, we want Him to cause us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And by God's grace, that happens as we believe Him and the Word works effectually in us. Believe in God, brothers and sisters. We read these things and we can understand these things. But I appreciated sweet Brother Michael in Sunday night's message. It will never happen from the outside in. The change is always from the heart. And by the grace of God, it is always the Word that does it. It will be nothing else but the Word of God. It's believing the Word of God that works effectually in our lives. I pray that we would understand these things in such simplicity because Jesus loves us. This is what He's purposed. This is the plan. Everything's been provided. And praise be to God, we got the power. And we've got it all. You talk about a package. It's so complete, beyond complete. Matter of fact, the Lord calls us, and He's because He's made us, in Galatians 4:1, you're Lord of all. I was thinking about that today. What does that not include? Well, son, I said all. Well, God, what about all? You've got it. Amen? Christ liveth in me. Let me tell you something. You got it. Now, again, as He so encourages, through every chapter, through every verse, truly, grow up. That life needs to grow up. It needs to understand, as it says so clearly in that same chapter. If you remain a child, you'll have no more knowledge than the servant. What a shame. Lord of all. Amen? But that was your choice because it's all there. And by God's grace, I just, Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding. And I'll tell you what, you talk about enlightened eyes. If He tarry for Sunday, we're going to have a delight, I believe, in eyes that are opened. Praise be to God. But I want to touch a little bit more before we move on to chapter 3. And sisters, I don't want you to be afraid of what I'm going to say. But now you can kind of understand. We're going to go back to the women just for a moment. But I believe that you'll be thanking the Lord because it's always wonderful when we rightfully divide the word of truth. I'm thankful to God how often we are to forget. And that's why the Lord always reminds us to pay and give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I always remember Brother Hill giving the study, especially toward those last years of his life. How many times did he do Ephesians? And I remember hearing, and I'm sure maybe it was me even thinking, we're doing Ephesians again? How about we're doing Ephesians again? Come on now. Praise be to God. But I want us to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. And we've been through a portion of Scripture where it talked about silence and silence for the women in the church and the different things of that nature. And you'll hear people pull that out and say, see, they're not to teach. They're not to do anything in the meeting. They're supposed to just sit there. And I am encouraged of the Lord to be reminded of what the word of the Lord is. In the fifth verse of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says very clearly, "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth," and this is in the church, "with her head uncovered, dishonors her head." Now, why would the Lord say that if he didn't intend for sisters, the ladies, to pray and prophesy, teach, give out the word of God in the church? Well, it's because he wants that. He desires that. He desires that we would be vessels willing for God to do as he wills, of his good pleasure. And God is going to make different ones teachers, and different ones the musicians, and different ones whatever it may be. It's perfect in what God does. So he tells us very clearly here that he expects that there will be women that give out the word of God. Praise be to God. And I'm thankful to the Lord it's been so obvious in Scripture, whether it's been a Deborah or a Priscilla, or tracts that I read from a precious Sister Bodie and a Sister Mooneyhan, or precious messages I've received from many a sister, whether it's Sister Keys or Sister Yvonne, and on and on and on. All right? So we can get bent out of shape real quick going in our own understanding. But when we rightfully divide the truth, it becomes very clear what God wants. He wants us to be willing vessels. God is going to choose whom he will choose. But praise God, we get this understanding. When we get this encouragement in our hearts, then we really begin to see what the word silence, as you go back to chapter 2 when we were reading about the women learning silence in silence in the church. And I'm thankful to God because, as we rejoiced last week, that word silence, it means peace. It means the peace of God. And I'm going to tell you something again, as we've been reading the word of God, those that are ready for the Lord to come, those that are going to be ready at that first trump, endeavor to be found in him, or of him, in peace. And brothers and sisters, this is part of the blessed peace of God, the peace to whom God has made us and where God has placed us in his precious body. Now, sisters, I want you to understand, God sweetly, he so graced you that you represent in type the pinnacle of glory in the word of God. Do you know that? In that same chapter 11, if you go down to verse 7 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." And I just am so thankful to God in that she's the glory. A virtuous woman is more precious than rubies. Her light, as the word of God tells us in Revelation 21, is like a jasper. She's diamond. She's so precious. What God has in type and in glory, and what it represents to God in a woman, and especially a woman of God that takes the precious place in living the testimony as unto God. What glory that is. I'm thankful to the Lord in that. I'm grateful to God that I have grown up amongst them. I'm so thankful that, praise God, the Lord has graced our lives with sisters that have taken that place with God. Praise the Lord. But the Lord encourage us, brothers and sisters, that this is speaking to us in Christ. And I'm thankful to God that, see, ladies, this submitting, it's not a weak thing. But it's being, but by being in subjection, as it says, unto our own husbands, as the word of the Lord tells us, in this place, it's complete submission to God and his will. What more could we want? What more by God's grace would we desire than being encouraged of the Lord that we are pleasing to him? And it's in that that she is strong, that we're talking the power of his might strong, that she is strengthened with the very power of God. And what glory it is when we take that place that God has called us to. Now, I want to specifically speak to what was going on at this time. And I think we'll say it's the deja vu all over again. But there was a blithe in society at that time. This was Rome around 50, 60, 70 AD. And let me tell you something, it was a godless place. Things were so mixed up, messed up. This was right before it all came crashing down. And God did let it fall. But what was creeping into the church, not only from society, but into the church, is that in Rome at this time, women were departing from their natural place that God had intended them. They desired not needing a husband anymore. Sound familiar? Cleaving unto women as opposed to men. Sound familiar? Removing themselves from raising even children. Sound familiar? Beyond that, they didn't even desire to be equal with men. They desired to be men. And that's how twisted it becomes. Their conscience, man's conscience, we're at a time that it's being seared with a rod of hot iron. The word of the Lord is true to the saint and to the sinner. You will never get away from it. You yield to God, and the word of God tells you exactly what will happen. You don't yield to God, read Romans 1. It'll tell you exactly what will happen. And you will never get away from it. And praise the Lord how perfect our God is and how beyond He is. It's just so wonderful. But this, so sadly, is going on right now. But turn with me, if you would, to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And you'll see why this warning was going out to the churches, and especially to what was going on with this chattering it even spoke of these women chattering in these churches. And the reason for the warning is right there in verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. See, there's that word peace again, isn't it? Wonderful. As in all the churches of the saints. It goes on to say, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, we just read that when a woman prays or prophesies in the church, she has her head covered. Praise God. So we understand very clearly that this is something different. This was that confusion, that chattering that was going on. God was correcting many things in Corinth at that time, wasn't He? Gifts were getting out of control. I mean, my goodness, they had the let's prophesy and speak in tongues chain. I've seen it. I've seen it try to come into this place. Thanks be to God, there's a stand. Withstand and having done all to stand. I'm thankful to the Lord, everything done in its order. Orderly, praise the Lord. And grateful to God that it's not difficult for the Spirit to rightfully divide the word to us. It's the intent of God. But it says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the woman to speak in the church. Now, again, we understand that this is not, again, speaking of praying or teaching, those types of things. But it was directly about this confusion, this chaos that was going on, that was creeping in from society, that was coming into the churches. And in verse 40, it clears it all up. Let all things be done decently and in order. So here it is. A woman is the glory of man. She represents in type the pinnacle that Christ has for us. But when she ceases to submit and rejoice in her place that was intended, let me tell you something, it affects the whole body. And it does. And God help us, brethren and sisters, to stand. Amen. And I pray that that makes it very clear that this doesn't have to, this is speaking of disorderly things. This is beginning to bring in the discord that comes in as we go off in our own ways. In this same scripture, it talks about what, came the word of God out from you or came it unto you only? I mean, you know, there's people that say, well, I've got a new truth. I've got a new revelation. Let me tell you something. No, you don't. There, this, as Brother Hill so sweetly said the very first time that the Lord encouraged me to give a message in this place, he said, let me tell you something, son. All the truth has been given from that pulpit. Let him just give more light upon light. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's the message of Paul. It was the message given to Paul. And there is more light. Don't stop and think, oh my goodness, you know, I've seen it all. No, you haven't. No, I haven't. Like I said, I used to say, well, we've just touched the surface. Let me tell you something. We haven't even touched it. We've looked upon it. Praise be to God. But what's to come? The exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. As my little guy said when his grandpa went to be with the Lord, Papa's way, Papa's way. It's about all I can say. It's way beyond me. But praise be to God, he's taken me there. Hallelujah. But let's go on now. Back to 1 Timothy, and we'll get into that third chapter. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine nor striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. We'll go ahead and stop there and visit on this. But as I read this, I think how it's very interesting and kind of exciting in a personal way to my life, because you think of the main characters here in this letter. You got Paul, who was called an apostle by Jesus Christ. He was called. You know it. And then you have Timothy, his son in the faith, as we read. And let's be honest, he was in a state somewhat reluctant to accept what God had given him. So what you have here are two fellas that really didn't have any desire for the office of a bishop. But God isn't bringing this out. These are men, brethren, women. I don't know how God might do this, but specifically here to men and to the brethren. Those that desire this office of a bishop. And some want this. And brothers and sisters, there is nothing wrong in having a desire to go into the ministry. I've often said, after being in it by God's grace for, well, I believe in a lot of ways, I'm just going to say, being a pastor for 7 years, definitely you need your head examined. But but God knows, no, there's nothing more joyous, but there's also nothing more there's never been anything more challenging in a sense. And I'm thankful to the Lord because so beyond me. But isn't in life by God's grace, you think you're confident and competent to do something, get rid of that. It's a lot better to go in there, Lord, I need you. Lord's so graced me to truly be in a place of complete dependence upon him. I was just visiting with Polly a couple days ago. It really was just something completely different in my life. I can testify that there was never a thought, there was never a desire to be a bishop or a deacon in a sense of formality, of some type of an overseer in the meeting. But God. And I'm thankful to the Lord, and what a precious place it is as it's under the hand of God and trusting him for it. But we see here that if someone desires this, it's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, it says it's an honorable place. It's edifying. But remember, and I've spoke to many brothers, especially that, especially in the last 7 years, that's wonderful that you believe that God has called you into the ministry. But let God choose the venue. See, what happens is everybody thinks that, I'm telling you, not everybody, but a lot. This is more than not. Believe that, oh my goodness, I'm going to have some big church and speak to a big bunch of people and all this. God may have you minister to one. Ask Jeremiah. Really? Was it worth it? You know it. Praise be to God. But may we let him choose. See, it's wonderful to desire, but let him choose. I can go into another thought on this, and I'm encouraged right now to say it. Be very, very much in prayer about this gift thing and about I'm gifted to do this and I'm gifted to do that. I'm not gifted to do anything. Except as God sees fit for that moment, and I believe him for it. And I mean that. That's not in jest. I, by his grace, am seeing how needy we are, how incompetent and insufficient, but yet in Christ, we're overflowing with capacity of more than a conqueror, more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's Christ in us. Thanks be to God that I know that nothing's hard for him, that through him I can do all things. Praise be to God. Because it's his strength. It's his grace. It's his glory. It's just who he is. But I'm thankful to the Lord that we settle down in this. And as you see, you take the place that God gives you. But before you just go rushing off into this and saying, okay, this is my heart, let's look at the state of the heart. And this is what God is showing us here. The evidence of this desire when it's from God. Let's go back and read verses 2 through 7. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. I love it, brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful to the Lord that, you know, as we read this, I just say, praise the Lord. We're reading about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Amen? If you really know that, this is exactly that same heart. Yes, this is describing, in a sense, on the surface, an overseer of the church, a bishop. We're God willing, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but it gives us a double portion of it, a sufficient witness with this deacon. That also means a minister. But see, this is far deeper than a position. This is far more than just a title. This is the state of the heart of those that are running for God's best. And this is what it is. God help us that even beginning this, as the Lord encouraged, this was, again, Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? That's what he's given here. Follow me as I follow Christ. Timothy's, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, there's much instruction here. We can go to these things in meetings and say, yes, yep, Lord, you've told us things about different ones in the church and maybe some of the qualities and things. They'll be evident. By God's grace, this will be evident. But I'm praying by God's grace, this will be evident in us. I hope you know we are all, and then not just to, you know, get us to feel good. You really are, because the responsibility to whom much is given, much is required. We are all ministers of the Lord. And there's a minister, praise the Lord, in everything and we do. And it's not in word only, it's in deed and in truth. People observe you. They watch you. They mark you. They do. Don't get weird about it. Just live. But you know this. You know the transformation in the things throughout your life. If you've walked with God for any time, God in His divine grace has brought people up to you and asked you something about Jesus or why you're different or how can you be that way? Or they'll bring up their problems to you. They'll just start talking to you. My kids, they laugh anymore. They'll just see me walking and here come people. But God does that. I just outed a thing at the university, and Roderick, we were walking through, there was a tour over here at DU, and one of the dads just, you know, I was walking at the very back. I was just enjoying the Lord and enjoying the trees and different things and thinking about the Lord. I kind of like do that a lot of times. And here came this guy, and he just kept asking questions and sticking around, and here he was. And Rod said, "Did you know that guy?" And I said, "No, but the Lord did." And he just started laughing. But see, that's how it is. Because, you know, God brings those appointments in our life and things. Because that's the ministry, brothers and sisters. And we don't need a title for that. It's just called the love of God. You're His. Praise God. You're bought with a price. And then He's given you truth. Isn't that wonderful? And you know these things. And He wants you to be a Galilee. He wants much fruit. Praise God. He does it in a lot of ways. And thanks be to God that He uses you to bring a cold cup of water. Ye that are spiritual, take that time. There's people, and I'm telling you, a lot of people. As a matter of fact, everybody needs the Lord. But there's a lot of people hurting right now. There's a lot of despair. And I believe it's God's great grace. He hadn't come yet. Still in such a great time of grace right now. People to not just know the Lord, but get ready for the coming of Jesus. And to be able to give out that truth, that abounding in hope to people in such a hopeless time. Praise the Lord. But let's listen to these bridal qualities that it lists right here. Blameless. Think about that. See, this means someone who's brought no reproach to the gospel of Christ. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know one like that has never brought any reproach to the gospel of Christ. But I'm talking about a state of heart. One that is very quick, by God's grace, to be convicted. Isn't it wonderful? When we know we've done wrong. When we know we've treated someone wrong. To go to them very quickly and to say, you know what? I am sorry. Even if I meant to say it or I didn't mean that. That isn't what God would have us do. Or if I did mean it, by God's grace, forgive me. I was wrong. Amen? God help us to have that kind of a heart. I'm telling you, we get so stoic to say, well, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Get over it. I'm so thankful to God that He wasn't waiting for that as His Son hung there and died on the cross for me. Tell you what, you look at that cross and a lot of things just go away real quick. Amazing what the blood will do. Praise His name. But, and yes, it does mean a testimony in a sense of our actions, but there's far more here, brothers and sisters. It really is speaking here of not bringing reproach to the gospel of Christ. We want to preach the truth. We don't want to compromise. By God's grace, I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's who we are. Not that we're forcing it or anything of that nature, because it's too good. I'm thankful when God gives me the opportunity to go out and preach to people that may not know the Lord, that may be in different religions or things of that nature, funerals and all of that. And I say it pretty much every time. I wouldn't do that, because the word of the Lord is too good to push on you. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to let the Lord love on you. It's a privilege to go after Jesus. You don't realize how grateful and thankful you'll be if you'll just turn your eyes upon the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Now, this is what this is getting at, is nothing in our lives I love that song, nothing between me and my Savior. I like that, nothing between. There's just that such an encouragement that the only motivation, there's no ulterior motives here. Everything's about winning him, that blameless. Shut up to Christ is another thought there. I was thinking about how David, he was delirious to go after the Lord. What a wonderful man of God in the Old Testament. What an encouragement. What a heart that truly was the very heart, the man after God's very own heart. But then at the same time, we have Paul. And Paul, instead of saying, my heart panteth after thee, he said, Lord, if by any means. Two hearts the same. Hearts that are after the very heart of God. Full overcomers. One in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Praise be to God. Obviously, different reward there. But praise the Lord. Still, I want God's best that he's offering me. And this is what that is. It's that heart that is convinced to go after him. Goes on to say the husband of one wife. And hallelujah, I'm so grateful to God. Not just a virgin, but a chaste virgin. And you talk about surrendered again, submitting to the one and the only head. This is first love. This is husband and wife time. And I love that. And you know, I do and encouraged. There was always a testimony in my heart, and I believe I am encouraged of the Lord to give it, that the Lord showed me so sweetly many years ago in this precious scripture with our pastor, Brother Hill. I know that there were lots of different things. Let me tell you something. Families are very complicated things. Do you know that? Do you have one? Well, I happen to. And you know, you talk about a box of chocolates or a bunch of nuts, however you want to look at it, but you got a lot of different things going on in those families and all. And I'm thankful to the Lord that my grandpa, my pastor, what a complex family. What a bunch of characters, strong personalities, all of these different things. But I saw so divinely how God brought my grandma and grandpa together. How he did it. Why he did it. I mean, brothers and sisters, we're sitting and listening to why. For the glory of God. I mean, it was a miracle. It really was. And I'm thankful to the Lord. And you know what? And I'm not just pacifying things and passing over, but yes, we all do make mistakes. We all do lean to the flesh at times and all of these different things, but God. And one thing that was always so precious to my heart, a lot of times, brothers and sisters, it can be, and I don't mean it in any way, shape, or form to hurt anybody, but a lot of times we can just hit the ejection seat and just go our own way and say, yeah, it's just too much. But I'm telling you, we can believe God for this moment, and that's the moment we got. And you know what? He said that he's not going to test you beyond what you can bear. You can trust him for that. And you can trust him for that. That's all it is. It's not going and grinning and bearing it and things of that nature. But what I'm getting at here is I'm thankful to the Lord, even with all of those issues and problems. I'm thankful to God that he kept my pastor and his wife together. I'm grateful to God for that. And God did that. And I believe that was the testimony of the love of God. And I pray that doesn't make anybody feel uncomfortable. I just pray that that would get your hands to go up in the air and say, thank you, Jesus. Because it was to the glory of God. I'm not glorying in a vessel. I'm not any of that. I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, your word. But brothers and sisters, I do want to encourage that this, again, is our hearts with the Lord in that one love, that first love. Relationship that we have. And then it goes on to say vigilant or watchful. See, that's not ignorant of the devil's devices. We're not ignorant of what the devil does. I'm telling you what, he is in a lot of ways, he's a one-trick pony. He just wants to get you to go in yourself, in your flesh, and getting to think that your principle or your ways are better than God's in some way, shape, or form, so you're going to exalt yourself. He does it the same way every single time. And see, brothers and sisters, even though we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, this isn't a heart full of judgment. A lot of people think that vigilance is sitting there and watching everybody and saying, oh, you can't do this and you can't do this. You learn to trust God. And you learn to pray for people. And you learn to trust the Lord and say, Lord, help us again. Be quick to repent. And Lord, to be tender of heart. Lord, to want to please you. To see how much you love us. To have a heart that's tender to receive the things of God. But see, this isn't a heart of judgment he's speaking of here. But this is a heart of discernment. Brothers and sisters, we need to be wise. And we need to be wise in the love of God. And I am telling you, as God has called me to be a pastor in this precious place, the wisdom and love that I pray for constantly. God, let this mind be in me. Lord, I want that. And I know you give that. I don't need to plead and beg for it. But Lord, I know I need it. And I need to pray for it. We need to pray for it in our homes, at our work, everything that we do, brothers and sisters. But we need that wisdom and the wisdom to stand in defense of the gospel. The wisdom to be loving. The wisdom, praise God, to care for a flock. The wisdom of the virtuous woman is really all over this, again, as it says in the Word of God. She cares for the things of her household. And that just covers every bit of our life. Goes on to talk about sober here. And sure, we could go and talk about, well, with wine and things of that nature. And it will address that here in a minute. But this is talking about any type of intoxication. This is talking about having a dimmed vision, brothers and sisters. And we need to have a perfect vision. It says in the Word of God, without a vision, the people perish. You can know the truth, but if we're not looking at it and loving it and appreciating it, brothers and sisters, we get off into things so quick, don't we? We get our distraction, our attention turned over here. My goodness, we get into movements and causes, anything but loving the appearing of the Lord. And it can happen in a moment. We know that. But see, again, what is it about? Is it about us or is it about Him? That's the beautiful, as we come in here, our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. Lord, protect it. You're our shield and buckler. You're our high tower. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I know we're the apple of your eye. This is what you want. You'll take care of it. Trust God. Trust God. But this is that precious encouragement to have that singleness of heart and mind. Sober speaks of not being sleepy one bit, but to be awake and alert. And praise God, to be sounding the cry, the readying cry. And in the Word of God, it's till we all come. And a lot of times that's on our knees, brothers and sisters, praying for one another. Just really seeking the Lord. Lord, wake us up. You know, we can see a slumber coming on at certain times, different ones that might be drifting or things of that nature. Not that we're watching in a sense again of judgment, but discernment, our hearts. And we want to be ready for the appearing of the Lord. As the Word of the Lord says, till we all come. God help that to be upon our hearts. Goes on to talk about good behavior. You know what good behavior is? A lot of people think a lot of different things. It just means to be modest and lowly. I think we've been hearing a lot about get down. Get down to the Jordan. You want to get across? Do you want to go on? You want to get into the very land of all the promises of God? Let Him increase and you decrease. And I'll tell you what, He'll take you places you've never been. Praise the Lord. Then you read about hospitality. Isn't it wonderful to have a welcoming heart? I'm thankful to God. We should want everybody and anybody that would want to come through these doors, you get on in here. Bring them on in. If there's anybody you wouldn't want to see walk through those doors, God help you. You're wrong. Your heart is not perfect before the Lord. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God, let me tell you something. He said very clearly, as we've already read last week, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. Well, if you know that by God's grace, the whole counsel of God is spoken in this place, and you wouldn't want a certain person to come in here, God help you. Amen. And more than that, to pray for people to come. Pray for those, especially that you know that have been graced this message, that are in a battle to come into this place for whatever reason it would be. How much more so we should be loving ones that would, this is where you belong. Praise God. Not in a sense this walls or living waters, but the living water of the Word of God, the message. We have nothing cornered here. It's just the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, praise His name, somehow, some way, cornered you. Corner me, Lord, I surrender. Isn't it wonderful? But see, this is what this is. This is this precious hospitality. The heart beyond a good Samaritan here, brothers and sisters. This is a heart desiring that people grow up into him in all things. That's what this heart is. This isn't just somebody that's nice that'll open a door. I hope you would help somebody out. Should have that in your heart anyways. But this is about the Word of God. That's why it follows right up with apt to teach. A Galilee, a life of fruit. My goodness, brothers and sisters, I hope we don't have store hours in our heart. That it's like from, after six, I just kind of shut it down. I know we get tired. I get tired. I'm pretty much tired all the time. So it really don't matter. God encourage me. Willing, joyfully. What is it about? About you getting rest? Oh, I need my sleep. I think you need to trust God what you need. Sometimes I need 8 hours, sometimes I need none. And I used to get kind of, oh my goodness, how am I supposed to feel good tomorrow? I don't know if tomorrow's even going to get there, so I don't really care about feeling at that time. Amen? He's your keeper. Trust him. Pray for one another. Pray for me. If you don't have anybody to pray for, I'll take it. But you see, this apt to teach. We're spiritual ones, ready to restore. God help us to be ones that want to see growth. Not just, as they say, the birthers, but ones that want to see somebody grow up full maturity. And you know what, brothers and sisters, that takes time. It takes a lot of patience. Now remember, we plant and water, but God gives the increase. But if he calls you and causes you to be that vessel that he would use to really pour that precious water on, be willing, be ready. Sometimes it is painful. Sometimes you're sitting there going, oh, Lord. And then I think, Lord, you're like this a lot of times with me. Maybe not you. But what a relationship, praise the Lord. But then verse 3, not given to wine. I think pretty self-explanatory there. Just the intoxicating things in our lives, brothers and sisters. And, we all have weaknesses. We just do, and God made you real special. He gave you some special weaknesses, and all of them are tailor-made to each and every one of us. Trust him for them. Precious place to be. Get tempted by things. Oh, what a wonderful time to be on your knees. Yeah. The grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Praise be to God. Goes on to talk about the not a striker. Yeah, we don't want to be blowhards. We don't want to be mean. We don't want to strike out in our own self. There's lots of things in that one. Greedy of filthy lucre. Again, the love of money is the root of all evil. And as I've told you in my time in the finance world, I saw people with a lot of money just as loving their money as people that didn't have a dime that loved money. The love of money is not a respecter of person. It'll affect each and every one of us, but for God. And that's the truth. And I'm praying that the Lord let us trust him that in our bank account, it's right down to the penny. It's exact. Trust him for it. Praise the Lord. Now, goes on to talk about patient. Means gentle. Talked about that a little bit and being patient with one another, giving out the word of God. Goes on to say, not a brawler. How about abstaining from fighting? See, that's when we grow up in the Lord. That's when we start to get wise. God help us to not want to get around and fight about the things of God. I'm not going to argue with you. We're going to search the scriptures. And if we don't want to go there, I stop. I'm done. Time's precious, brothers and sisters. Quit wasting time. And I'm telling you, the Bible is very clear on that. Paul even desired in himself to go preach the word of God at certain places. And did you know the Lord just took him right by there? He said, nope, Paul, we're not going there. Pass by that city. A lot of times we can be emotionally attached to something, and God is telling you, pass by. Go with God. Don't get stuck in your emotion. Go with God. Let him do it. I'll tell you what, he'll bring you relationships that'll knock your socks off if you just trust him. You think it's only going to tap from this resource or that resource. Let me tell you something. You haven't seen nothing yet when you trust the Lord. Praise be to God. But then it goes on to say, not covetous. The Lord help us to just desire him. And if there's things that we're really starting to want, Lord, help me to look up and to understand there's nothing to compare with you and what you have prepared for me. And then it goes on to say about verse 4. We'll hurry through this to close. But one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. I'm so thankful that, again, this is so paramount here, brothers and sisters. This is not in word only. This is indeed in truth. This is a follow through. This is living the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to understand this too, because there will be ones that sit back and say, oh, well, look at your kids, or look at what's going on over here. Well, let me tell you something. You walk me a pastor up here or anything like that that's had perfect kids. You won't find it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's such a thing as the enemy. And the Lord allows these things. And I'm going to tell you something. People that would essentially, you think, live in a perfect life. And God does this specifically. You'll start worshiping a vessel. And you will. You'll start treasuring that vessel instead of the treasure. But God, in his faithfulness, will allow that to fail. And he will. And those that have their eyes on the vessel will just flee. They'll be out of here. Time and time again. This isn't exclusive to this place. It's not. It's on the treasure, brothers and sisters. It's the message. And God help us to understand that. This isn't about me. Whether you care for me or not, I pray you love me because it's the love of God. But it's the message. This is why we come here. We rejoice in the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified. I don't know anything else. That's it. But there will always be battles and trials. But this is getting at truly in this verse 4. There's a consistency still in the stand. We make mistakes. We do fail. But by God's grace, we still stand. Amen? We still look to him. It's not compromising things away. It's not trying to be a people pleaser. And I'm thankful to the Lord of all of the witness in my life that God has brought through the ones that were sincere in going after God. See, David was sincere in his heart about going after God. He really was. And man, did the Lord allow some major stumbling in his life. Major. Some things that people would, you talk about jaw-dropping. What? Him? Oh. Could you imagine the weeping? Amen. The sadness? The mocking? The questioning? All of these different things. But thank the Lord. The Lord made it very clear. He's the man after my own heart. So do you believe the word of God? Or are we still going by sight? See, and that again gets us back to the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, this hits, this verse 4, hits at this first love. It's the first love. Nothing between me and my Savior. Stand, withstand, having done all to stand. And praise God that there's no difference anywhere we're at. Verse 6, and this is such a precious one again. See, not a novice, not a child, but being the mature sons of God. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to grow up, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Again, David, he might have been a young guy when the Lord called him, but let me tell you something. Even at a young age, he was strong in the Lord. Sure, there's experience that we get, the experience from glory to glory, the experience from grace to grace, and it's priceless, the evidence of the good soldier that has endured hardness. We're talking about seasoning. Ones that have been in the battles, not swayed by man or man's emotion, not given into ego here. See, this is very, very important. Sometimes when we have successes in the things of God and all of that, the enemy will come right at you. Vanity gets him every time. And it's the truth. But again, he's allowed to do that. And as that comes upon you, and I'll tell you what, yes, it's come upon me. Can you imagine? Get on your knees and say, oh, Lord, get that nonsense out of here. I want another glory. I don't want to just get stunted here. There's more and more and more because it's all Jesus. And that's why it gets better. Because he can't be anything but better. As the eyes of our understanding become enlightened, and man, you're down in that treasure trove and it's endless. And you thought you got to the end of it all in the expanse, and then, whew, there's more. And you're just sitting there going, oh my goodness, you are awesome. You are amazing. And how wonderful that is. But see, he brings us to those places. This is talking about don't be tempted to swerve from the things of God. He's just so good. He's so rich. He's so beautiful. By God's grace, Lord, I'm thankful. Why would you ever want to turn from that? It's so perfectly beautiful. It's amazing. There is nothing that can compare. Nothing. But it has to be his grace that brings that to you. It's not of us. That's the beauty of it all. But he wants that. And as that gets to be challenged or a dry time or whatever it is, Lord, just let's stoke the fire. Come on. And you know what I need, but I'm calling out for it. More of you. More of you. More of you. And he gives us that more earnest heed to the things of God. And then finally in verse 7, and how important this is. As it says there, we must have a good report of them which are without. Brothers and sisters, this is really the love of God. And I'm so thankful when people come into this place. I'm grateful to the Lord so often. I know the love of God's here. That's what it is. It's not superficial. It's not just because you come up and shook somebody's hand and introduced your name. But it's the love of God. It's the love of the truth. It's the love of souls. And this is what this is getting at. Unbelievers knowing that we're genuine in our faith and love. Preaching not just truth, brothers and sisters. There's people that do preach truth. But I want to preach truth in love. That's the effectual working power of God. That's when things will take off in your life. That's when the light upon light upon light goes on, is when it's in love. Spirit and in truth. It's so wonderful, so amazing that you think that God is seeking that one that worships me, drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss me. That's the one I'm looking for in spirit and in truth. Isn't that wonderful? One that has the love of God so shed abroad in their heart, they're just bursting for truth. My Jesus, my son. See, it's just so, it just blows my mind of the love that God builds in our heart with and for his son, what it does for the Father. It's so great. I was sitting at lunch and I almost screamed in a little restaurant. It was so wonderful today. But here it is. Seeing souls. We're not looking at religions. We're not looking at somebody's status. We're not looking at skin color. We're not looking at any of that. We're not even looking at past hurts from church splits. What did he just say? Yeah, you heard me. Get over that. Love. It's love. I had a brother come and call me up. Oh, you don't realize what I did for you. I've been visiting these churches and I'm trying to get them all together. And I said, stop. I've got a restorer. I got a restorer. And I'm thankful to the Lord. And I want people to know the Lord. And I want people to win God's best. But I know it's never going to happen unless you love. I know it's not going to happen in this life unless I have that love. Unless you have that love. Unless we have that love. all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I'll tell you what, you will seek peace with all men as much as lies within you. And this is not one thing about compromising the gospel of Christ. No, no, no. But in love you stand. And in love, it works effectually. And love will win. You just speak truth without love, you'll eventually dry up. You'll not care about souls. You'll start putting guards at the door. Well, you watch for this one and this one, and don't you let them come in here. I'm sorry we even have to have doors, because we really don't. It's just open. And I do want this to be a place that we're rejoicing at, called the throne of grace. And let's not be moved, because that's the power of God. Praise His name. So much. Pray that even so, Lord, come, and come quickly. Let's stand and be dismissed.